How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick. Unfortunately, Belinda's not with us tonight, but I am joined by good old Ronald. How's it going, Ronnie?
Yeah, how's it going from there at the bottom of the Super Bowl log, Nick?
Yeah, we're not talking URC tonight, so you're going to have to be a little bit more humble than you were last week.
All right, well, where are you on the Super? Are you doing any good?
Yeah,
or we're going to talk, bring that up later.
I'm first, Ronnie. I'm first in all the competitions all the time. It's been incredible to watch the support for you on our social feeds, because I've asked, should we kick you out the pool? Everyone's voted no. I've asked, is Ronnie cheating? Everyone's saying no.
It's impossible to cheat.
The fact that you're saying that makes me think you are, in fact, cheating, Ronald.
And besides, like, if you lost me from the team, if I got kicked out, this podcast would lose all credibility.
So, I mean, let's be honest, though. In pools gone by, you were the guy that created two profiles, then would lock one so you could see the scores and then make picks with your correct one.
No,
I know these tricks, Bonnie.
I've never done that before. Never.
Yeah. So now
I've only ever played Super Brew ethically.
Is that so, hey? So now that you found out France is around the corner, did you catch any top 14 this weekend?
I did not watch any top 14 because it was Challenge and Champions Cup.
Fair enough. Good point. Saved by the bell. No. Yes. Ronnie.
Saved by common sense.
We haven't done your 2 cents in quite a while, but I have a bit of a rant this evening, something that really got me riled up today. Did you see that they had the SA Sport Awards this week?
I thought that was just a replay because there seemed to be a whole bunch of awards in the last couple of months. But yeah, I didn't realize there was something official going on this week.
So SA Sports Awards, or SA Sports of the Year. What year? It's May. It's the middle of bloody May, Ronald. What year are we celebrating? 2023? Or the first 5 months of this year? May is ridiculously late to be holding this award ceremony.
If you look at some of the schools that have their matric dances in May, I don't think it's that shocking. Sometimes people do ridiculous things.
I mean, some of these people being honored are just about to go to the Olympics. Some of these people being honored, the season's about to kick off for the Springboks. For me, it's a little bit ridiculous to be doing this in May. I'd love to hear from the listeners if they agree, but that is my rant for the evening.
Yeah, well, Nick, you have a bit of a small brain and you can't understand these things. So, yeah, well, so be it.
Yeah, maybe you just need to check the calendar and realize with me that it is, in fact, May, Ronnie. And I don't know which year we're celebrating. It's all a little confusing.
Say that to the tax man that always has the end of year tax in Feb.
Also true. Also true. Well, Ronnie, then maybe let's get on to the action from the weekend. So there was a lot of good rugby, good quality rugby on, in fact. I watched all of the games, so I really enjoyed it. But Champions Cup, I am 149th on the log in Super Brew. Where are you, old Ronald?
I literally just gave you where I was on the log 5 minutes ago. I didn't write it down. Can't you tell us?
You were 441st.
Okay, no, we're going to have to. I'm going to have to do this now.
No, trust
me. I'm 48th or 45th or something.
Yeah, you're 48th, Ronnie. I'll give that one to you. But first game up of the weekend in the Champions Cup was Leinster playing host to the Saints. That game took place at Croke Park. Did you see, Ronnie? 82,300 people piled into that stadium for that one.
That's incredible. So, well done. Yeah, must have been an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah, it really was. Dan from Shortball Rugby was there, and some of the posts he was putting up really looked epic. I would have loved to have been at that one. But Ronnie, that first 40 minutes, Leinster were all over the Saints. They had all the possession. They were running riot. And it just looked like the second half, Leinster would come out and put the game away. By halftime, Saints had made 109 tackles to 29 from Leinster. I mean, you'd expect a side to be exhausted after that.
Yeah, I think for me, the most important thing that came out of that game was you in the first 15 minutes saying, Leinster going to win by 30 plus points. And then they ended up winning by only 3 points. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Leinster came up firing, all guns blazing. You know, they put their foot down and it was amazing to see. And then I think they got a little bit complacent, or they were, you know, trying to protect the lead, or, you know, whatever the case was. But they seemed to run out of a bit of steam, because the Saints crawled their way back eventually. But yeah, and it came down to the wire in the end.
Yeah, you know, I expected the Saints to fade away in the second half after undergoing so much pressure, but they came out and they really put on a good second 40. James Lowe had scored a hat-trick in that game, and Kian Healy also became the most capped Champions Cup player of all time. But great to see Courtney Laws putting in a big shift. Unfortunately, as he said, though, they never really managed to impose their game onto Leinster. They were always sort of playing catch-up and trying to counter Leinster rather than bringing their own game to the fore.
No, you're absolutely right. Struggling to actually do the math here, but yeah, if he's James Lowe scored three tries, that's three quarters of Leinster's points. So a Kiwi doing all the work there. And him also talking about his fellow Kiwi, Jameson Gibson Park, your favorite player. You know, the Kiwis are doing well over there in Ireland.
Yeah, that's very true, Ronald.
To lose the other Champions Cup game, the one that sets up a brilliant final for the Champions Cup, to lose winning that 38 points to 26 over the Harlequins. Yeah, I think the first point on the agenda, like I've said, sets up a final between the two most successful European teams ever. So that's very exciting, and it was a quality game to watch as well. And your other boy, Tyrone Green, was on fire. And my question to you, is he in Bock Reckoning?
Yo, Ronnie, watching Tyrone Green, I was really impressed by him this weekend. I mean, he went into contact at full tilt, won plenty. Great to see him running out wide as well and showing his skills. He did get down for a try. Tough to say if he's in the Bock Reckoning because we have no idea if Rassie's cast an eye there before. He's never been called up to alignment camps or anything, but keep performing like that. And it's not just this year that he's been playing well. Last year, we also spoke of him. So performances like that is exactly how you get onto the Bock radar.
Look, he's a quality player, but I do want to say it was you doing most of the talking about him last year and not so much me. I'm still a little bit reserved as to where he stands in the big picture.
Really?
But yes, Nick. Toulouse, definitely doing exceptionally well now that DuPont and Intermac are playing together. It's a fire combination that the French have there. And if they're playing together for their club team, for their franchise, yeah, the French are going to be on fire again one day. But too bad for the French at the moment. DuPont is playing sevens rugby and going to the Olympics. So he won't be playing for the French national 15 side.
But I mean, he gets two tries in this game, and the whole time I'm watching it, all I can hear is Rassie's voice. Tackle him around the ball, you know, put your arms around him and take this guy down. Don't let him get the pass away. Yeah, lethal player with Intermac, lethal as well. I'm great to see that.
Lots of representation from the South Africans, especially in the Quinn side. We have four players over there. We've already spoken about Tyron Green, but we also have Stefan Levies, Irne Herbst, and big Andre Esterhuizen.
Yeah, great to see that South African contingent. Actually, Stefan Levies used to captain the Sharks, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, just don't butcher his name again like that. It's Levies, China.
Yeah, Ronald. What did you make of the Joe Marler incident, giving away a penalty for something as stupid as slap-tapping Tomas Ramos's head?
No, he's a big shit-stirrer at the moment. Well, he's always been one. Yesterday, I actually watched on Rugby Pass, I watched a documentary about the Barbarians with Razor being the coach. And Joe Marler was in there. And I was just astounded at how much that guy actually just stuffs around, that guy being Joe Marler. He hardly takes anything seriously ever. And I think he makes good entertainment on the internet, but I would not like to be his coach. I don't actually want him in my side.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on social media saying, you know, they enjoy Joe Marler because he is one of rugby's big personalities, but they don't want him ever playing for a team that they support because brain farts like that, it's not his first one. And if you guys haven't seen it, he literally, like, it's a soft moment, but he slap-tapped the back of Tomas Ramos's head and gave a penalty away at a crucial moment for Quinns. They'd probably already lost the game by that point, but that is also beside the point. Then we go over to the Challenge Cup. So here, we're very close to one another on the log. I am 268th, you are 253rd. So within shooting distance, I'll take you in the final. But that must have something to do with like what Belinda said last week, because my team is doing well in this tournament. Sharks through to the finals.
Sharks are through to the finals. Never had any doubt. Sharks for life.
Here we go. Fence hopping Ronnie back at it again. So now you're a Sharks fan.
Always been a Sharks fan.
Oh, yeah. Good thing we have recordings of previous episodes. But great to see the Sharks get a win there. I think Siamasuku, fourth man of the match in the row. We're not going to shut up about this guy at the moment because he's playing some phenomenal rugby. And clutch as well, Ronnie, slotting the match winner right at the death from the touchline. Big moment player.
Big moment player. And I think so many man of the matches, he's definitely running out of speeches. I'm not sure if you heard his post-match slip of the tongue. A couple of choice words there that the commentator had to apologize for.
Yeah, well, I would also be running out if I'd ever won four man of the matches in a row. That didn't happen. But I also know it certainly didn't happen for you, Ronnie. Sharks outscored.
I got a couple of man of the matches, you know. I was a quality rugby player.
Is it, hey? Is it?
It's a team player.
You know, Ronnie, the Sharks were outscored 3-2 in this game, which again points to Siamasuku's vital contributions because he kept them in it with a boot. But that Clermont early discipline really kept the Sharks in the game. They were struggling in the beginning. A lot has been made of the match officials, which we won't touch on. But yeah, great to see that the Sharks kept in it despite not being able to cross the try line as frequently as they would have wanted.
No, you're right. So I think when last week we spoke about that additional want that all or nothing sort of take, you know, that the Sharks had for this game. And I think that carried them over the line eventually because, you know, looking at it, I don't think the Sharks actually played very well. You know, they got 1-1 point. You know, they didn't score that many tries, but they had the brilliance of Siamasuku to keep them in it. Even Etzebeth played well. But I think the Sharks were pretty lucky to come away with a win there.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you, Ronnie. And again, a 1-point win against the French at the very least was
ordered. The French must hate us. Honestly, they must hate us.
Yeah, they really must hate us at this point. But, you know, you saw that first half from the Sharks and you kind of hoped, okay, they're going to have a team talk now. They're going to come out in the second half and, you know, it's going to be the Springboks stepping up. They've got the leadership in that. And then immediately from the kickoff, we give away a penalty and Clermont get another 3 points, which was very frustrating. But most worrying for me in this whole game on Saturday was how the Sharks scrum went backwards. You have the Springbok front row, you have an Etzebeth in the engine room, and they were going backwards, Ronnie.
Yeah, well, I'd actually like to see the stat broken down by first half and second half, though, because, you know, the Sharks did go in with a 5-3 split and then, you know, losing a lock in the first 3 minutes, you know, that's going to tire your forwards out. And, you know, especially the South African teams are now quite comfortable, quite used to at least being a 6-2 split, sometimes even obviously 7-1. But, you know, the forwards are used to giving it their all and then getting replaced when they're tired. And that couldn't happen. So I'm interested to see what the centered scrum and lineout success would have been first half compared to second half.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have it broken down per half, but overall success rate for the game was 67% for the scrums and 77% for the lineouts. And you definitely expect better from a side laden with Springbok talent. Ronnie, the yellow card to Apalele Fassi. So that was a bit of a rugby incident for me, both going for the ball. Was it a yellow?
Yeah, I think it was a yellow. I think it's very lucky that it wasn't called to be a penalty try as well. I know the referee thought that there was some covering taking place, but, you know, he must have thought that the Sharks' defense is the fastest defense in the world because they were well behind the ball when the collision took place. So I don't know how they were going to stop that. So Fassi, I think yellow card definitely. You can't interfere with a player like that. You can't just run and barge him out of the way. You've got to be smart about how you are approaching the ball coming from such a long distance. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a yellow card. We were lucky not to come away with worse.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, also a yellow card for Batista Delgai for the knockdown. So it was 10 minutes each side had to play without the ball. But Fussy's coming at another crucial moment for the Sharks. But they did manage to bring it home. So no complaints there, hey, Ronald. I was quite surprised, though. The Sharks flew home immediately after that game. 2 hours later, they were on the plane back to South Africa. I remember playing rugby in school and being very sore 2 hours after a game. So I can't imagine that flight was any fun.
I don't know. Being sore and sitting on the side field in the dirt was probably not as comfortable as sitting in a nice luxury business class seat, if they got that right. So, you know, I could relax in a business class seat on an aeroplane, I reckon.
Well, assuming they did get business class then, hey, Ronald.
Assuming. Next game and the final game for the weekend, you know, this was crucial for us as Sharks fans because, you know, it sort of set the final for us. Who are we going to play? Were we going to play Benetton, another URC side, or Gloucester from the Premiership? So Gloucester came away as the winners from that game. It's a bit of a blowout, in my opinion. Gloucester 40 points to Benetton's 23. Yeah, that was an exciting game if you're a Gloucester fan, a little bit disappointing if you are Italian. But all the home sides pulling it off this weekend. And yeah, like I said, if you're a Gloucester fan, well bloody done to you.
Yeah, I think I kept waiting for Benetton to fire their shot and come back into the game because there were quite a few moments when it looked like they would. But Gloucester really just grabbed it early on and then settled in and were able to steer the game, control the flow of the ball, and that stopped Benetton from releasing those exciting backs that they have.
But release they did towards the end of the game. Benetton threw everything that they had at it. Hail Marys, you know, every bloody thing that they could think of, they tried that, but it wasn't to be. It was sort of an all-or-nothing approach, and it ended up being nothing. So, yeah, disappointing if you're a Benetton fan. Yeah, and then Adam Hastings scoring 3 conversions and 2 penalties, helping to pile on a huge amount of scoreboard pressure onto Benetton, and ultimately Benetton coming up short. And they'll be, I suppose, back in the Challenge Cup next year. But, yeah, it's between the Sharks and Gloucester to see who makes it into the Champions Cup, because the Sharks have no chance in the URC. Like we've said, it's all or nothing.
Yeah, all to play for in that final to save their season for the Sharks. Ronnie, then we go over to the URC just to preview some of the games this weekend. So first up, we have the Dragons hosting the Stormers away. What are we expecting from this game? Are the Stormers going to take it?
Yeah, look, the Stormers are a strong side. So you'd expect them to actually come away with a win there. I think I'd lead towards that. I don't really know what to make of it now. I've been very much focused on the Champions and Challenge Cup. But you're right. I suppose you're going to agree with me. So you will be right. Stormers.
Yeah, and let's not forget, it's all to play for in the Stormers. There's only a couple of points separating 11th place to 5th place on the URC log. So a slip up on the road now for the Stormers could prove very, very costly in their race for the playoffs. Ronnie, then the Bulls at home. They face Glasgow Warriors. The Bulls have been a bit up and down the last few weeks, but I think you have to back them for a win at home at Loftus, hey?
Yeah, it's at altitude. We always talk about altitude. If you ever see some of the photos inside the tunnel at Loftus, it says altitude. It matters. So I think in this case, it definitely will matter. Glasgow is going to suck for air. And their lungs are going to burn. And we'd expect the Bulls to pull it off. Hopefully, the stadium can fill up a bit. Because it's, you know, there's a lot to play for the Bulls in the URC. So we really want the stadium to fill up a bit. So I know you're in Pretoria, so I expect you to be there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go and represent, hey, Ronnie. But also, make or break for the Bulls. They're also in playoff contention, but at risk of falling out with a slipper. So a lot of pressure on them for this game. Then it would have made for an interesting fixture, the next one, had Benetton beaten Gloucester in the Challenge Cup, because the Sharks host Benetton this weekend in Durban. So it would have been a dress rehearsal for the Challenge Cup final.
Yeah, absolutely right. That would have been very interesting. I actually did not know that. Had I known that, I probably would have backed Benetton a bit more, because I think an exact carbon copy of the final would have been interesting to see what the teams were going to try.
It definitely would have, Ronnie. Then lastly, for the South African sides, we have the Lions hosting Cardiff in Joburg. Are the Lions going to take it?
We'd expect them to, because we've been talking and raving about the Lions in recent weeks a bit. You know, we said that they're a team that play for each other. They don't have all these fancy names and players, but they do seem to do really well when they're up against it. So, look, it's a difficult place to go and play, Ellis Park. It's a difficult place for us fans also to go. We're probably going to get shut down for that again. But yeah, look, it's for any travelling side from Europe to go to Ellis Park. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, that's for sure, Ronnie. Well, that takes us on to a bit of the news in the rugby world for this week. Not actually much going on compared to previous weeks, but a couple of things we need to mention. First up, the SA Under-20 Rugby Championship. So the Rugby Championship is being hosted in Australia for the Under-20s, for those that don't know. Last Thursday, we got a 13-all draw against the All Blacks in our opening fixture, and we're now preparing to take on the Aussies. But Ronnie, don't you think they've missed an opportunity? Shouldn't these games be played as warm, like the first game in the stadium before the Springboks play the All Blacks, for example.
You're looking for the curtain raiser word, is that it?
That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, Ronald. Sometimes you're useful.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I do, it is tricky, right, to fly all these youngsters and these very big squads around all the time. So the tournament format that they sort of have where it's all overseas, it's all the same place, you know, that makes... Yeah, I think it's a little bit tricky to fly all these extended squads around. It's quite expensive. So the tournament format that they are deploying at the moment makes a bit more sense for these guys to save a bit of costs, hosted in a single location, and, you know, they get everything out of the way. So, look, yeah, I think it's, you're not going to fill out stadiums if you don't do that, and you're not going to be able to fly them around either. So I think that's just the reality of the situation. Regardless of how it is, I think it's fantastic because the under-20s up north have been playing for a very long time, and we've been lacking a bit at that age group level here in the Southern Hemisphere. So I think it's good. Whatever we can get, we'll take.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Ronnie. The logistics probably playing the biggest role in why it's in one country. But it really would be special to see that baby Blacks versus baby Box and then watch the main test match at Ellis Park. That would be an incredible thing to see. Ronnie, Crusaders' pain continues. They lost to the Reds this weekend for the first time in 25 years. It's just not getting any better for them.
Yeah, like, do we attribute that all to Razor and to Richie Munga and some of the big-name players that aren't there anymore? I don't think so. I don't think you can just simply lose it all overnight like that. I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, shocking.
Yeah, it's definitely shocking, and I think mostly to their fans. What about Mike Brown, Ronnie? He got a 2-week ban for swearing at match officials after he got guarded.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit stupid now, right? We know how much they're trying to protect the referees. There's been a lot of abuse going towards the referees. And if the players are abusing the referees, you know, what's stopping the fans? You know, so then he needs to set an example. So, yeah, if you're going to swear at the ref and not say, sorry, sir, yes, sir, then, yeah, serve your ban.
Well, unless you're Johnny Sexton.
Yeah, but Johnny Sexton's precious.
Couldn't have put it any better, Ronnie. Then, you know, normally at Rugby Punted, we don't cover much of the bad, but I feel like a word does need to be said here because Alton Yankees decided to enter the media fray today and say, you know, he's going to be back sooner than you think. There's many people that he sort of looked up to and trusted who have let him down. And, you know, the full story is going to come out. And I'm sorry, if you're not speaking any facts, you're not giving any proper answers, you're just beating around the bush. Alton, let me tell you something, bud. You disappointed us. It's not just the steroid use or alleged steroid use, whatever you want to call it. It's the other incidents you did in the Bok jersey. So rather stay out of the limelight, bud. Serve your ban. And if you can come back after the 4 years, then follow in Deontay's footsteps.
All said.
Ronnie, Jan Hendrik Wessel signs for the Bulls to 2027. Great to see a young hooker committing his career to South Africa at the moment. And same for Ruben van Heerden, the lock from the Stormers, also a big up-and-coming talent. So great that they've been locked out in South Africa.
Yeah, I think we say this every time. It's so difficult to compete with the Euros and the Pounds and the Japanese Yen. You know, these guys are earning big money abroad. So for us to keep good talent and local talent local, that's always exciting to see. But yeah, we've got a big roster of roster of rugby players in South Africa. So yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, and then on the theme of signing, Ronnie, Johan van Kraan, your bud that you met there in France, he signed with Bath to the 2029-2030 season, committing to them after joining them last year and their revival in the Prem.
Yeah, that's a hell of a contract to sign all the way till the 2030s. So I was a little bit shocked when I saw that. I thought, geez, who commits to that long? Does he like Bart that much? Is he not even going to consider potentially coming to the Springboks at some point?
Ronnie, then the May Fokchom moment of the week. There can only be one, that offload from a flying Pepsi Buthelezi round the back of the defense of Clermont, and away for Mpimpi try. How great was that?
That is fantastic to see. I'm very excited what Pepsi can offer potentially at the Springboks.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's going to get a call up when that squad is announced for the Wales game in Twickenham in just a few weeks' time. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fokchom. Dit was lekker.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.